Billy Ocasio, who's the CEO of the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture. Hi, Billy.
Hello, Steve, and hey, I love the music.
I do too, actually. You know what? I've been to Puerto Rico. I've only been to San Jose and the area around there. I was speaking at a conference once.
Okay.
And I don't even recall the second time we were there, I was there, but we were. I loved it each time I was there, and the food is spectacular. The vibe is great. But I will tell you, if you live out, and I know people who do, live out in the countryside, things aren't quite the same all the time. And
that is true.
Yeah. Why is that the case that so much of Puerto Rico is still so very poor?
I mean, you know, there's a few things that I think lead to this. I think that, you know, San Juan gets attention because that's where all of the tourists arrive. That's where the ports are, and so they get a lot of attention, and so a lot of the dollars will go into that area. But really, the rest of the island is so beautiful. I mean, that's where you really want to head to, is to the middle of the island. You go to areas like Ponce. I mean, and I would say after, you know, give it a little bit of time, they just went through this big hurricane. But, you know, that middle of the island is just unbelievable. I think that part of it is that, you know, we don't get the types of resources that a state, you know, if you're in the United States, a state here gets a certain amount of resources. Puerto Rico, although it's part of the United States, doesn't get the same amount of resources. And so, I think it leaves the island still behind some.
Well, all right. But after the last hurricane, I don't remember the dollar amount, but a tremendous amount of money went to Puerto Rico, and deservedly so. Now, from what I read in the media, that money essentially has been squandered, and crooked politicians have done whatever they've done, and they're no better off. And in fact, it turned out to be the case. Hurricane hits. At first, nearly 100% of the island had no power. A lot of the island was flooded, on and on. And you know, if a hurricane hits Miami, things are not good, but it's not quite like that.
No, and you're correct. I think, you know, under the previous president, they said that they were going to help Puerto Rico, that they were going to send, you know, $5.5 billion to. But then all of that, you know, the first thing they did was they decided, let's privatize all this. And so people started getting contracts in between the past presidency and Puerto Rico's current government. You know, you would think that 5 years later we would be prepared for Hurricane Fiona, and yet we are not. You know, they gave a private company these contracts, Luma, and still the outages are more frequent now. They last longer, and they still have not done anything to prepare the grid that they promised they were going to do 5 years ago.
So what is life like on a daily basis in Puerto Rico? So those power outages that we are talking about when the hurricane hits actually happen on a regular basis throughout much of the island.
And they do. They do. It doesn't matter whether there's a hurricane or not. A hurricane may throw it off for a lot longer, but there's rolling outages ever since the last hurricane, you know, ever since they decided to privatize all this. And, you know, and it's like people who got contracts from this, none of them really knew the island, you know, and I don't know what's happened to that $5.5 billion. But people are still suffering out there. They still have these rolling outages. My mother-in-law lives in one of the senior homes, and they're constantly going, their power is constantly going out. You know, people have to really depend on generators now.
Well, I'm dancing around it a little bit, and I shouldn't. The word is corruption, I believe. So
corruption, I believe, is the correct word.
Yeah, all right. So let's use this example. So your mother-in-law lives in a assisted living facility or some such thing, I take it?
Yes.
All right. Now, this is a population that when the power goes out, I assume that many individuals who live there can be affected profoundly. As a result, people who depend on oxygen, that kind of thing. And yes. Speaking of which, I understand that insulin can be hard to get. You know, so diabetes occurs there like it does anywhere else. And except that if it occurs here in Chicago, we can get the insulin. It's not always the case there. Medical supplies can be hard to come by as well.
No, and it is still, I mean, if you think COVID affected here in the United States, think about what it's done in Puerto Rico. Think about the lack of resources, you know, all of the medicines. If, you know, if it's hard to get certain things here, they are a lot harder to get them in Puerto Rico. And, you know, and after the last hurricane, after Hurricane Maria, there was just a flood of people who came to the United States and a lot of corporations and companies that moved out. And so, you know, we are still American citizens in Puerto Rico, and yet, the government hasn't really paid attention to us. We're hoping, I know Biden made this promise that he's going to clean up, but it's got to go beyond that. I think we need an investigation into all of the tax dollars that the U.S. has put into Puerto Rico that have disappeared under the current Puerto Rico administration and under the last president's administration.
So how is this fixed? Would it help if Puerto Rico happened to be the 51st state? Are you a supporter of that? And are most Puerto Ricans a supporter of that? I know many people are.
You know, I'm a supporter of people having the right to self-determination. And until, you know, the government makes that available to people, it's, you know, it's really worthless and disgusting because you have to let people determine what they want to do and how they want to be. But, you know, they never make anything binding, and so people just don't take it seriously anymore. You have to make, if you want to give the people the freedom to choose, then you got to make it binding.
The fact that so many people have fled to the upper 48, I don't want to say fled to the United States, because, again, Puerto Rico is a part of the United States. And it drives me crazy, and it must drive you 100 more times crazy when you hear people on the radio or television say that. But they have particularly medical expertise, because they can make more money in the United States, and other jobs which range widely. But all sorts of people have come to the upper 48 because of dollars and cents after Hurricane Fiona, the last hurricane. So how is that problem fixed?
Well, you know, I think it's that people have fled here, but part of the reason that people have fled here, because there's a lot of people in Puerto Rico that want to help Puerto Rico. And the problem is that it is hard to get those resources from the U.S. into Puerto Rico. I think that if the U.S. did half of what they said, you would see a whole different island. I mean, think about it. Right now, we just opened up this exhibit at our museum. It's an exhibit from Museo de Arte de Ponce, the museum in Ponce. And, you know, to think that, you know, that the hurricane happened and then there was an earthquake in 2020. This is the biggest museum in the Caribbean, and they still cannot open. You know, so we have this exhibit because of the lack of resources going into Puerto Rico.
All right, now, the perfect transition. Talk more about not only that exhibit, Billy, but also the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture.
Well, yes, you know, we have, we're the only Puerto Rican museum outside of Puerto Rico, and we had an opportunity to work with Museo de Ponce, who has really the biggest international collection in the whole Caribbean. You know, but they suffered. You know, not only was there Hurricane Maria, but then came the earthquake in 2020, and they've been actually closed since the earthquake of 2020. And, you know, they have now started a capital campaign hoping to open up in 2025. They were just here 2 weeks ago to do the opening of this new exhibit called Nostalgia for My Island. They were just here. And why they were here, this hurricane hits Puerto Rico. You know? So it's like if they were thinking about opening up in 2025, I'm not sure when they are going to open up. I think, you know, one thing is that we have this priceless exhibit that's here in Chicago. It's going to be here for 10 months. And it is it's really 21 masterpieces that are made up of some of the biggest painters of in the history of Puerto Rico. You're talking about paintings that go back to 1786. You know, it's just a beautiful exhibit. I want to invite everybody. You know, we're free to the public. We want people to take part in this. We want people to see this exhibit. But it's the biggest exhibit to come to the United States from Puerto Rico.
Billy, you know, people are concerned. They want to help, but are concerned, okay, I don't want my money to land in corrupt hands. So
correct.
How can people help?
Well, you know, let me tell you that we do a lot of research before we give out any money and stuff. So we have, you know, if you go to the museum website, you're going to see two different types of fundraising that we're doing. One is in partnership with the Titing Foundation in Puerto Rico, where they are matching dollar for dollar. They know where the money needs to go. They've already done the background checks on the organizations that need to get this money. So, you know, they're very reputable. Now, the big thing here, and let me just say that this is just a great blessing to us, the Chicago Chef's Cook is a conglomerate of different restaurants and chefs throughout the city of Chicago. You got, you know, over 30 of them who participate in these events, and they're going to do this Wednesday at the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture. They're going to cook for Puerto Rico. Tickets are selling for $150. We were looking for sponsors still, but all of that money is going towards World Central Kitchen's relief of Puerto Rico. And, you know, everybody knows World Central Kitchen. But these chefs that come together to help raise money for Puerto Rico, and those funds will be going to the World Central Kitchen for distribution towards Puerto Rico's relief fund.
All right, I'm running out of time here, unfortunately. But time for you to give the website.
Okay, so you could go to nmprac.org. That's nmprac.org.
nmprac.org.
Yes. And National Museum Puerto Rican Arts and Culture.
And what is your street address?
We're at 3015 West Division Street. The event this Wednesday is from 6 to 9. And if you can't buy tickets online, come to the door. You could pay there.
And you can also go to the website and maybe type in your charge card number and help the citizens, the good people of Puerto Rico. Billy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you and all Chicagoans. They've always given. Thank you.